How we doing, everybody? This is Jeff Hoke here with Jamie Gatlin and Chris Henrique, and we are here for yet another episode of Shorthanded Takes, a Boston Bruins podcast, as the penalty box gets full with the Boston Bruins right now as they play the St. Louis Blues. Two Bruins players in there right now, so it's a little 5-on-3 action going on, getting ready to go on right now. So Bruins down 1-0 to the Blues. So, you know, yeah, it's a great start for the boys out there today. We are coming off of the trade deadline, and also a win against Pittsburgh, big win against Pittsburgh, 5-1. We'll start off with the trade deadline. Got two players. It's now 2-0. They got Andrew Peak and Patrick Maroon. So I'm gonna give one of you guys each. So Jamie. Andrew Peak obviously gave up a lot for him. When I say a lot, I mean they gave up a third round pick for him. And it seems like a lot for a guy that hasn't done much, but maybe just needed a change of scenery. Well, what's your take on the Andrew Peak move? He is playing today. What's your take on that move for the Bruins?
Yeah, I got the vibe that he's kind of a player they think they can get more out of. You know, I think they think a change of scenery, they can kind of bring out more in his game. I feel like with how much they're up against the salary cap, that was kind of the perfect move to improve, you know, for the stretch run, bringing a guy like that, that you might have a higher ceiling than compared. I'm happy they didn't give up any first round picks. But I'm interested to see if they can, you know, if they can get him to that other level they think they can, with what they gave up for him, then it's a good move. Hopefully that happens, because giving up a third round pick, I feel like that's a little high. So I'm excited to see what he does with this opportunity, and he's going to get the minutes. You know, he'll get playoff minutes too, so I'm interested to see how he plays.
You almost have to, yeah, I mean, like Chris, like I said, that you're putting a lot of pressure on somebody coming in. You're giving up a third round pick. He wasn't very good in Columbus, but I mean, he also wasn't with the greatest team in Columbus, so maybe being on this D pairing and the last D pairing with the Bruins might fix him a little bit. But do you think Sweeney had to overpay a little bit due to the cap restraints, or what do you think?
No, I mean, I think that the compensation kind of aligns with the, I mean, he's signed, and I think that's another major reason why that. You know, if he was probably like, if this is the final year, I would probably guess that it's not a third and it's a fifth, maybe a sixth, but he's still under contract and he's going to now be in the mix to be part of your, you know, your defensive pairing going into next year. So I think the compensation kind of aligned. I mean, Zboril really just kind of floundered back and forth between Providence and here. You know, he just, I think you upgraded and you utilized an asset that was just kind of in limbo, really. You know, he wasn't really contributing to the bees. So I'm okay with it. I think it's a good move. I said for a while, they needed help in D. He's a big dude, physical guy. It's just hopefully the Bruins are able to kind of tap into him a little bit, and they're not getting the guy that was in Columbus that was not playing. I mean, there's a reason why you're not playing, right? You know what I mean? There's always a reason why the teams are not playing your bench, whoever that combination is, but seems like it's a change of scenery. And, you know, maybe Sweeney found a diamond in the rough, or he's another one of those $3 million contract guys that Don Sweeney likes to acquire. And then we'll have a bitch of a time moving if he doesn't, you know, meet expectations. So it's one of those two things. I would like to be positive on this. I like the move. I think it's a good move for the Bruins.
Now I'll ask you about the other move. I'm not going to say the nickname because he might listen to this. I don't know. He might find this, the Jack Edwards nickname that was given to, one Pat Maroon. Pat Maroon was acquired, for a 6th round pick and Toprowski, I believe it was, from Providence.
Yeah. Yep.
We kind of saw it last week against Toronto last Thursday. They got a little more, the Bruins got a little more feisty with Toronto, which is what you want to see. They did it again on Saturday, and they also put up 5 goals on Saturday. Pat Maroon is kind of that guy that you want in there to be that guy that can start fights and that can, you know, cause wreck havoc on that fourth line. Chris, what's your take on the Pat Maroon move? Obviously, he's going to be out for a couple of, for the until at least the end of the month. But obviously, it's more for, you know, playoff push wise in the playoffs.
He is going to fill the role that Milan Lucic should have had had he not had any of the off-ice issues. That's how I looked at it. The second they acquired him, that's the type of player he's going to be in your bottom six pairing. You know what I mean? Like, he's never really been a big-time goal scorer. It's just a physical presence on the ice, and that's what this Bruins team is needed. They needed more physicality. If Pat Maroon was healthy, the other night when Brad Marchand got laid out in that game and he got up slow, a guy like Maroon's going to get in there. You don't need Trent Frederick to keep doing that. A guy like Maroon goes in and he's a presence on the ice. You know, he's not Tom Wilson, but he's a presence on the ice. And that's what the Bruins needed. So I like the move from that standpoint. I hate that he's not ready yet. And the issue with him having back surgery, there's always that. Is there a setback? You know, there's those question marks that can come into play, but I like the move. And to me though, he's what I think, in my opinion, you wanted out of Milan Lucic to be here all season long. And unfortunately, that situation is what it is. So I like it. I mean, I don't hate the move. I think it's going to be played out more just because of the Jack Edwards history with him and the comments and everything else. And unless like he comes in and just like, I don't know, pops off and scores like 8 goals over the stretch, no matter what he does, I think that's going to outweigh it. But if you think about it, when the Bruins in 2011, when they were going for that cup run, they went out and got guys like, you know, Mark Recchi and Gregory Campbell, and the past have gotten the dude there. Why is he escaping my name? Chris Kelly. Like,
oh yeah.
You get these like scrappy grinder, these like tough physical guys that can come in. That's what Maroon is. And that's what I think Peak is. I like the both moves. I'm not upset by it. I will give my opinion when we get to the goaltender. And I think what's going to be nice about that is that I think our opinions are going to differ. And I think it's good for a podcast.
No, yeah, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to hear some opinions on that coming up here. But Jamie, I'll ask you really quick, your take on Pat Maroon joining the Boston Bruins in part of a trade.
I like it. I feel like he's that physical body that they need. I was impressed in the Toronto game because I feel like that was one of the most physical games they've had all year. And definitely if Maroon was in there, you know, like I said, probably worked on the stuff to Marshawn that they did. It was nice to see them respond that way. And then to think the playoffs, that they'll have a guy like Maroon in the bottom six that they can throw out there in those situations. You know, I feel like it's just he's going to be a good fit. He's probably the last. I was surprised when I saw the name. If they needed a physical forward like that, I think he's a perfect guy for that role.
Now, I do want to know, because there were trades that could have been had, obviously. It didn't happen due to unforeseen circumstances, a.k.a. no move clauses, that we give out like candy nowadays, I will say. Jamie, how do I want to put this? The rumor is that they had a deal in place for to send Linus Allmark to the LA Kings, but Linus would not waive his no move clause. Now, obviously, he has the right to do that, given the fact that it's a no move clause, and he did have that in place. I will say, if the deal is who I thought it was going to be for, I'm very happy he waived his no move clause, because if it was Pierre-Luc Dubois, I want nothing to do with Pierre-Luc Dubois. Anyway, that's my opinion there for a second. Jamie, what is your take on the possibility that Linus Allmark could have been moved, and then you look at the Penguins game on Saturday and how he played and how everyone reacted to him with him after the game and all that. You had the Swayman celebration with him and all that fun stuff.
I mean, I'm not surprised that his name was brought up. I feel like we've talked about it a lot on the past, just with his what he could bring back, especially if you're looking to restock draft-wise. I also wasn't surprised that it got nixed, and I think we've talked a lot about this team's chemistry to sort of see them react the way they did. It's Pittsburgh is what you want to see. That's also the performance you want to see from him after what was probably an emotional week, going through that and then coming out and looking really good against the Penguins. I think he's definitely going to get moved now. I feel like that likelihood is even stronger in the offseason. But I wasn't surprised that, his name was brought up. I feel like there's a better chance to move him in the offseason than doing it midseason. So I'm not, I wasn't surprised how that unfolded.
Chris. What?
Chris is like going on.
I feel like you're going to have a differing take on this, but what is your take on Linus Allmark not waiving his no move clause to go to? Apparently it was the LA Kings, also the New Jersey Devils were involved, all that fun stuff.
Well, so first and foremost, I think it should be said that, he's got a no movement clause, so it's within his right to veto the 14 teams or whatever it was. What I don't understand is why the Bruins were trading him to one of the 14 teams. Now, I get it if, some of the others aren't involved, but don't you, have to have a pulse from the player to think that, all right, I might get a deal with LA and I can get player X, whoever it might be, or New Jersey, again, whoever it might be. But shouldn't you have a pulse from the player that, hey, I might be willing to waive this? Versus spending all your energy going out and trying to make a transaction with a team that you know the player is just going to straight up tell you, no, I'm all set.
You would think so.
That, to me, I found to be puzzling. So why is it that Don Sweeney is trying to make moves with teams and doesn't know and have the temperature of Linus Ullmark? Because I think every single fan in Boston had the temperature of what Linus Ullmark wanted to do. If you watched every Boston Bruins game that they've won over the last 2 years and the, 75, 80 hugs between him and Swayman should pretty much tell you that he don't want to go anywhere. So now to me, if I'm Linus Ullmark, you got to know that you're going to be traded in the offseason. And this time you're going to go to a team that is not on that portion of the list. So get your hugs in now. I also look at it, though, from the standpoint is that, again, you got to do what you got to do. But if you really cared about this team and you cared about the players that are here and they're trying to move you, you should, to me, it's like you had a chance to go to a team that could potentially be in the playoffs with the Kings. You know what I mean? So, not only are you still in the mix, but you're also your team that you love so much. I just don't know what these guys think. Swayman and Ullmark. Is Swayman gonna take less money so Ullmark can hang around here next year? That's not gonna happen. And if any Bruins fan is delusional in thinking that they're gonna pay $8, $9, $10 million between two goaltenders, I want to know who your dealer is. I want to know where you're getting the stuff from because it's good shit. It's not gonna happen. So I blame Don Sweeney for trying to trade this guy to a team that he was going to tell you no. And I blame Don Sweeney for not having the pulse of his player on whether or not he would have accepted a trade clause. But why aren't the reporters asking that question? Don, did you know, did you have the pulse of Linus Ullmark on whether or not he would waive the no trade clause? Why won't anybody ask that?
It's the hugs.
I'll tell you why. Because they want to make the cute tweets on Twitter and they want to still have their access to the players and the team. Connor Ryan, to me, is, I would say, I don't want to call him the Jared Karabas of Bruins Twitter, but I look at him as in the upper echelon of Bruins Twitter. Where is he asking that question? Where is he asking Don Sweeney, why is it that you chose the Kings knowing that he was going to tell you no? Where's Ty Anderson asking that? Ty is the first one to respond back to people when they call him out on Twitter. And all these guys do an outstanding job with what they do. They absolutely do. But why aren't they asking these questions of Don Sweeney? That to me, you have a responsibility as the connection to the fans to ask questions that fans, and I think that that's not a, to me, I don't think that's an unreasonable ask. Asking who he's going to acquire or why didn't you trade him to I don't know, Winnipeg or something like that. That's a different conversation. But I don't know. That's just me. That's just, you know, I kind of want the media to ask the tougher questions. But Bruins media, I just generally, they don't do it. They just don't do it. Michael Felger would have asked the question. He would have.
I do know some people. I not personally know some people, but I have seen some people that are upset by the fact he didn't waive his no move clause for us. It's like, bro, he has a no move clause. It's his right to do whatever. He's earned the right to not move. I do wonder, because it is a 16-team no move clause, I do wonder who's what, and it's one of those lists that aren't made public. So obviously the Kings aren't on that list. We know that now. I don't think any of Canada is on that list, if I remember correctly. I think I heard he does not want to go to Canada whatsoever, which who could blame him other than the free healthcare, but that's besides the point. Free healthcare, man. Right. I ain't saying no to free healthcare. Okay.
I mean, Chris has a good point though, that the first place he should have approached him about a team he knew he was going to say no to in the first place.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing with that deal, or at least, like we said, like at least confront him first, like, hey, Reno, like King's called. If we flesh this out more, are you gonna nix it? And then he would have said no, and then it should have just been like, all right, we're not gonna continue this discussion.
I'm Don Sweeney. I go and tell Linus Ullmark's agent, hey, look, I'm shopping your client. I have to improve this hockey team. He's one of the better assets on this roster. It's gonna leak out into the public. I get it, but this is what's happening. I am shopping the player. And then from there, I would let him know, hey, I've had conversations with these following teams. They're on the no trade. I just need to get an idea. Is Linus going to, would he waive? Yes or no? Because if he's not, then I'll go and concentrate my efforts elsewhere.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I do want to ask this question, non-Bruins related. We're going to go into the NHL here for more deeper into the NHL here for a second. This is Vegas's cup to win, right?
Yeah. I mean, seeing the additions they made, I was impressed with how
they got Noah Hanifin. They got Mittelstadt from Buffalo. And then the whopper of a trade right at the buzzer was Timo Meier from the fucking San Jose fucking Sharks. And they still have, and I mean, look, they're doing, everyone's all pissy because they're doing the whole fucking circumventing of the cab, blah, 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 blah. Look, man, I'm pissed about it too, but you know what? You can fucking do it, and it's fine. And you're not going to get in trouble for it. And look, it sucks, but guess what? Tampa Bay did it for years. Now everyone's just taking all, and if you want your team to do it, they can do it. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, Christ, we put Derek Forbert on the fucking LTIR. Man, look at that shit. We saved up $4 million in cap right there.
But here's the thing. If it's within the rules, how is it circumventing the cap?
It's not, but people say it is.
Well, people are fucking morons.
Well, yes.
If every single person who bitched about the Tampa Bay Lightning, you're an idiot. Because it's within the rules.
Yeah. If it was their team, they would not be complaining at all.
Exactly. And
if they broke the rules, I'm pretty sure that the National Hockey League would have punished them for that.
It just sucks for us because Bruce Cassidy is the coach over there and his team is fucking absolutely dynamite.
If the Bruins aren't going to win the cup, I want Bruce to win a second cup. So like, I can live with this.
But I think if you look at it too, though, guys, like the second that Vegas started to build their roster, they've just done it the right way from literally the draft.
Yeah.
Meaning the expansion draft. From, you know, the actual like drafts itself. They've drafted well. They've made good trades. They, you know what I mean? Like they hit on some players, of course, you know. I don't know. Like people can hate on Vegas for doing all this stuff, but I mean,
for an expansion team, that franchise could not have gone off to a better start than
It helps that the NHL, this was their like the first NHL expansion draft in years, and they had no idea what the fuck they were doing, so they just threw players on the fucking waivers like it was a fucking free for all. And it was all
credit to Vegas for picking the right guys too, though.
Oh, 100%. Because you got Mark, the biggest guy on that list, it was Marc-Andre Fleury, obviously. And we all know how that turned out at the end of the day. I mean,
look at the Kraken too. Like the Kraken, same thing. Like I felt that I didn't think they had that great of an expansion draft, but look at that team. Like that team is
their competitive playoff team.
And weren't they in the Eastern Conference? I mean, the Western Conference Finals or the round before last year? I don't remember off the top of my head.
Vegas?
No, Seattle.
They might have made it to the second round. It wasn't the finals, though.
You know, so it's like, you know, you can build your team the right way, and these teams are doing that. And yeah, if guys get hurt, you have LTIR, you put them on there, you get that cap relief, you go and you make some other moves, boom, and it is what it is. It's just be thankful that Bruins players aren't getting hurt and you're losing them to LTIR. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of is what, and even on top of it too, like, we got to be realistic. The Bruins just really didn't have the assets to go and make these trades either. You know, it's a byproduct of being competitive and being in the conversation every year, but it's also another byproduct of not drafting well. You know what I mean? Like, not drafting well does come back to haunt you for what feels like almost 10 years now. You know, if you hit in these drafts, you're not having to go like you. I'm not even going to mention the draft that should be unnamed, right? But let's say you hit and you get two of the three guys and you hit there. Boom. You know what I mean? Like now you're cooking there. Now you're not having to go and maybe have to go and spend a first and a Rick Nash a couple of years later. You know what I mean? Or, you know, unfortunately, I just don't think that, I don't think you hit a home run with Lampus with Lindholm. I don't. I you know what? Like I just, the guy's soft. He when the playoffs show up, it's like, he's like Hunter Renfrow. He's already got the apartment packed up and he's gone. You know, he's been a bust in my opinion. He's not been good. I'd move him if it were me at some point. That's just me. But
the only downfall is you got another 5 years left on that contract.
You do. And I guarantee you, he's got a no movement as well.
Oh, 100%.
You know,
if you sign an extension at this point, you're going to either have a full no movement clause or at least a semi-partial no movement clause. And that's just how, that's how every player is nowadays. I mean,
You know, I don't know. I think the whining about LTIR is what it is. I'm just, you know, again, I you know, to circle back to Ullmark though, like I look at him as it's an asset that you have that you can really maximize. And you know, I get it. You're going to have to play ball with him. You know what I mean? Like, but same thing too. If you can't, if any of those 14 teams, just think about it, if the 14 teams that you can go to, and let's say half of them have goaltenders, now you're dwindle that down even more. You know what I mean? There could be teams that don't want to go and spend $5 million on him, and they want to go and take a lesser approach. But who knows? I mean, if you look at this past, there was a handful of teams that were looking for goaltending. Devils, the Kings. I forgot there was another team that made a goaltending move. Who was it? Was it Calgary? No,
San Jose.
So there's going to be teams this summer that's going to want a goaltender. You're gonna have to play ball with them. And yeah, that's just what it is. I don't know what that's going to look like, but if you come back into next fall and you have Ullmark and Swayman, all right, I guess awesome. You have the best, again, goaltending duo in the National Hockey League. And if one goes down, great. You're protected there. But I guess it's a good problem to have. You know, there are some teams, like I was just saying, that don't have a goaltender and they're scratching and clawing. You know what I mean?
So New Jersey literally flipped both of their goaltenders for two brand new goaltenders. And
I mean, look at the Maple Leafs last year, like that went through how many goaltenders? Or was
they went through a bunch.
You got Pittsburgh this year, who isn't even good, and their goaltending has been subpar at best. And they have Tristan Jarry, who they were supposed to move at the deadline, but they never did. Now it seems like the team in the East to be outside of the Rangers, obviously, right now, on paper, is the Carolina Hurricanes. I mean, they got Jake Guentzel.
Another good team.
That trade a lot for them.
That was a move that not a lot of people saw coming, because a lot of people thought he was going to head out west. Not Vancouver. I think Colorado was in on him and a few other teams. But in the end, John Henry gets his picks that he wants, gets his prospects that he wants. And ends up shipping out. They end up flipping Michael Bunting for Jake Guentzel. I think they got another guy too. I can't remember who it was though, off the top of my head. But end of the day, though, the Carolina Hurricanes got better, and they're going to be a threat to the they're going to be a threat in the East once again.
I don't know what I would love.
What's that?
A Hurricanes Vegas final.
I feel like the two teams I hate the most. Wow, I would love that so much.
Man. I just think it would be entertaining.
Oh no, it would be. I'm just saying, two teams that I absolutely fucking despise. God damn, I love that.
Here's another question for you. All right. So Pittsburgh, they traded, and then Sidney Crosby was very outspoken. He was upset about that deal.
Future Bruin, yeah.
Yep, future second line center.
I guess that's my question. So, like, what is Pittsburgh doing from their from that rot? Like, you the dude that you hired came from the Leafs. He's what do people refer to him as? They refer to him as like the Theo Epstein, basically, like mind of us. Right? Except he hasn't won anything. You know what I mean? It's like he didn't go to Toronto and win a cup, and then he's going to go to Pittsburgh and win the cup. Like, yeah, that's not happened. But so I guess my question is like, what's the plan there? What are you doing? Like, is Sidney Crosby going to be willing? And he's won, so you know what I mean? Like, he's already won. And but what if he wants to win one more before he hangs up the skates? And it's crazy.
Oh, you got to trade him. You have to trade him.
That's my point. So, like, do you entertain that? Like, if I'm Boston, I am all over trying to have Sidney Crosby. I don't even care how old he is. He'd be 56 years old still playing. I want Sidney Crosby on this team.
And we already know how he looks in black and gold.
Yeah, he's black and yellow. Put him in black and gold and look better.
Yeah, tomato, tomato.
Diverse colors.
Yeah, it's close enough.
I just, I you know what I mean? I don't know. I he's still playing at a high level. You know what I mean? I don't think you're going to have to give up the absolute world to get him. But to me, if you can't, again, I don't know what free agency looks like this summer. I haven't gone into that realm yet. I'm in football free agency right now. You know what I mean? Like, I can't add another free agency into the mix.
Well, they'll have 20 million for cap space next year, and that's if you that's before you factor in a potential all-mark trade, which would get you to 24-25.
Yeah, but
they'll have plenty of cap space to make moves.
What scares me though is like Jeff, like you didn't want the dude from the Kings.
No,
Allmark. So, do you think Don Sweeney though is going to target that kind of player?
I think he's going to target him. He's not going to target a rental. He's going to target a guy that you can get at least a couple.
No. I get what I'm saying is like, is he going to target that player's style of play?
I mean, it's possible. The only reason I don't like Pierre-Luc Dubois is because there's a reason why he's got pushed out of Columbus, and now there's a reason why he's getting pushed out of LA. I mean, he's a cancer in the locker room. He's been known to be a cancer in the locker room, and you just don't need that on your team right now. At least, see, I mean, maybe my thoughts will be different if it was off season and you know you're trying to reform your locker room, but midseason, I'm not down for that.
I agree with that.
Holy shit, it's 3-0 Blues. God fucking damn it, guys.
I had a lot of optimism coming to this podcast about them, and it's just all
good. I don't, man, this is brutal. I mean, just.
Can we activate Maroon now to maybe check some people? Is that possible?
I mean, I don't know if that's going to help at this point. This is just, they're getting manhandled right now. Damn. Anyway. Let's have some optimism here for before we go and pick the next two games, because maybe they'll win, maybe they won't. I don't know. They go to Canada to play the Canadiens on Thursday, and then they head back home to face the Flyers on Friday, on Saturday. I mean, so they got two games between now and the next podcast. So, Chris, what's your prediction?
How many games total is it again?
Two.
Oh, two.
Dose.
I don't know. Let's just say the team's gonna rally around the goalie duo and their happiness and then their feelings that are not hurt. You know what I mean? Let's channel that energy. Let's channel the hugs and the kisses. So we'll go 2-0.
So is that with two hugs? 2-0 with two hugs?
Two hugs, you know, a couple of smooches on the cheeks. Whichever cheeks you want them to be, sure.
Oh, yeah, hopefully they save those other cheeks for the locker room. Anyway, Jamie, what's yours?
I'll go 1-1. I think they beat Montreal and then they lose to the Flyers.
Torts back. I think Torts is back after. Will be back then, after his.
Can I comment on that? I
Yeah,
want to
where
comment.
is?
I'll comment on that. Is there a coach that is the more overrated in the National Hockey League than that fucking guy?
Oh,
He's
I.
one cup and it was with the Lightning. Everywhere he goes, it's about him and not the team. If it was about the team, you would hear more about the team's play than his fucking antics every single time. You
Well,
could put
also
on.
his team sucks, so I mean.
That's my point. You could put on NHL Network, one of the few sports networks that's left on YouTube TV, MLB Network, and Nesson not being there. We'll comment on that another time. But you put on NHL Network, and whenever they're talking about that dude, it's not about his team. It's not about the team's play. It's always about him. Always about him. And then you get thrown out of the game and then you just refuse to come off the bench. Like, that's okay. On top of it, I did think it was bullshit. I don't know if you reposted it or not. The where the dude from the Rangers, I think it was, that got like the same fine or was like a lesser fine and suspension that what Torts got from the league.
Yeah.
When he hit the, I don't know. I'm so happy that the Bruins never hired that guy. And I would be very down on the Boston Bruins if they ever bring him in because I think he's just overrated. I think he's bad for the sport. I mean, again, you talked about the dude in LA, right? It's a reason
Yeah.
why you bounce around and you're forced out. Well, there's a reason why you bounce around in hockey. Good coaches stay a while. Good coaches, they also win cups. And when you won one, you had a juggernaut on the ice. And now you've gone to other teams and you can't seem to replicate that success and or coach up these players
This is
because your teams
also
are always down and out. I'm out on that guy.
the same guy that said that Zegras shouldn't be doing the Michigan, or no one should be doing the Michigan, and that it's not good for the sport to be doing the so-called Michigan. That was when he worked for NHL Network before he got hired by the Philadelphia Flyers.
What I he's just a I don't even care what he has to say. Terrible, terrible hockey coach. Terrible on the bench. He's just a, I don't know. To me, I'd want my legacy as a coach remembered by elevating my players, winning, not for pissing and moaning, crying, getting thrown out of the game, refusing to leave the bench, press conferences, airing out your players. There's ways to go about doing it. He's a bad hockey coach.
Well,
I agree with all that.
let's go out on that note, because I like ending it on that note. I really do. I do. It's a good way to end it. So we will be back next week. Hopefully the Bruins will be back on track and not getting their asses kicked right now as they're down 3-0. But we'll see come next week. But until then, I'm Jeff Hoke. That's Chris Henrique, and that's Jamie Gatlin, and we will see y'all next week for another episode.